Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, it is available on Spotify. Well, friends, we made it through another week. Whew. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're being good to one another. And hopefully you got to watch some good films that are either new or new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And we will get to your list, the grab a pencil portion of the show, in a little bit. But first, I got a film to talk about that is opening in theaters this weekend, as well as catching up on the videos that have been sent to me. And, of course, dead people we like, because we never have time for dead people we don't like. Now, opening at your local art house cinema this weekend and then popping up on Netflix on January 29th, and I thought of dear old Film Sociology alumni Kobe and Bianca Slagle on this. I believe Bianca would be watching this with her mother. It's an English film called The Dig, based on a 2007 novel set in an English countryside in 1939 when, during an excavation, a 6th-century Anglo-Saxon ship is found. Huge task to take, and all the people around it that make it the task that it is. It's on the property of a woman played by Carey Mulligan. This is the other film performance she did this year, at least compared to the one that made my top 10 last week. She gets the gruff digger played by Ralph Fiennes that comes in, the blue-collar archaeologist, the independent archaeologist who comes in and starts working on it, even though they start to butt heads with the excavation society and the people in town. I believe it was the AV Club who said this was a kind of a British version of the Snobs versus Slobs movies that Hollywood had back in the 80s. As I'm watching this, and I have to say, I have a friend who is an archaeologist and wanted to get her input on this, because there is a lot of story going on. I would love to see a documentary about this subject, but it's based on a novel. It would be a little bit shorter. And there's Fiennes has the best performance of the group. Mulligan is fine. I mean, it's a nice performance, but there's not a whole lot for her to do. But Fiennes kind of takes charge as the archaeologist who is determined to not let the British Museum take over the excavation. It's like a digging version of local authorities versus the national authorities. But there's also a subplot involving Lily James, who is the wife of an archaeologist working on this on the dig, and another man in her life that it feels like padding, as much fun it is to see Lily James and company, Ben Chaplin as well. But when it's sticking with the dig itself, it's pretty interesting work. And of course, beautiful English countryside and some decent acting performances from everybody across the board. So not groundbreaking, and we'll get lost in the award shuffle, I guess. And making a documentary about a novelization, a novel adaptation, I've been stuck inside too long. But it's, again, opening in theaters this weekend and on Netflix on January 29th, The Dig. Fun way to blow a couple hours. And I'm sure that quote will be in the ad campaign. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Catching up on some of the videos that have been sent to me. Really nice stuff from Film Movement Classics and digital remastering of the 1979 film Raining in the Mountain. This was digitally restored in 2018. And some would say it's a Buddhist heist film with a little bit of martial arts. It's set in the Ming Dynasty, and it's kind of a couple different groups, two different factions who are battling over a sacred scroll. And we have a Buddhist abbot, I hope I'm saying that right, who is in charge as far as who gets assigned to take care of this scroll. It almost goes into Yojimbo, Fistful of Dollars territory, where you have two folks working for the same thing. There's more intrigue in this film than action, so don't expect the complete kung fu fest. Listening to some of the special features, it was also dubbed Treasure of the Sierra Monastery. One film scholar said it was a Buddhist version of the Asphalt Jungle. The more you know about Buddhism, the more you'll get out of this. But it's an interesting who'll do it, as opposed to a martial arts battle or a whodunit. It looks really good. It was a nice digital restoration done in 2018 of Raining on the Mountain from Film Movement Classics. Also out there from 2010 is the film Haverman, which I remember reviewing a film last week that dealt with the relationship between Germans and Austrians. This time around, it's Germans and Czechs. Set in 1938, a German man marries a Czechoslovakian woman, and as it turns out, even though she was raised in a monastery and was baptized, according to her birth certificate, she was actually born Jewish. And what happens when the Nazis take over that section of northern Czechoslovakia? Brutal at times, and what happens when the authorities storm in and wind up getting the paperwork. So a cinematic kick in the chest from the film Haverman, which came out in 2010. Also out from Corneth Home Video is My German Friend, a film that it's one of those I'm glad I got to see this, and I hope Hollywood never, ever, ever remakes this. It's starts in post-World War II Argentina, where we have two childhood friends. One is the son of a former Nazi war criminal, the son of one, and then the daughter of a wealthy Jewish businessman. And what happens as they get older, they both wind up, interesting that they're living in Argentina, which also is going through some political changes as they get older. Both kids wind up getting scholarships to study in Germany, and he wants to support South American causes. She wants to support changing Germany. Nice performances by the adult leads. It doesn't overplay its hand or lay it on too thick. I would say this is a good use of the term melodrama, where it doesn't get overly heightened, but it's just two kids trying to connect, and it doesn't. Well, I'm not going to give it away, but look for My German Friend on Corneth Home Video. From Spain and Peru, well, it's a Spanish Peruvian collaboration. It's a film called Song Without a Name, and it's about a woman who set in the late 80s. Who gives birth at a free clinic, or so she thinks. It turns out to be a scam as far as obtaining babies, and suckered in by a radio ad for a free birth care, and the next day the clinic vanishes. Then it's her going through the bureaucracy and red tape trying to find out what happened to her child. She winds up getting some help with a journalist and finds out that they're in way over their heads, because even the government has a little bit of inkling with what's going on with these clinics. So a heartbreaking film, and the actress playing the lead, even though she's supposed to be 20, with her kind of rotund shape and slow walk, looks twice her age, and you know, just got the weight of the world on her, especially after her baby is taken from her. So and beautiful black and white photography to counter with the heartbreaking story of Song Without a Name. Going back to indie picks, I talked about on a previous show a South African film that was restored. Another one that was restored from South Africa in 1975 is a film called Trompy. And Trompy is the leader of his little 12-year-old group of rathscallions roaming around the countryside. These are the guys, these are the kids in the 70s with the really, really short pants. They look like the Japanese kids in the Gamera films. And it's kind of a basically Trumpy going into one mischievous event after another, picking up a stray baby baboon, even though we find out later it belongs to the local reverend. Dogs chasing baboons, chasing children, running into adult areas. Hilarity ensues. Child-level hilarities ensue. Man is, and I guess this went over pretty well in 1975 South Africa if you were a really small child. But as I wrote in my notes, seriously, F this kid. The star of this film for hopefully, I think it's shortly under 80 minutes, thank goodness. And but this is the kid who fakes his illness so he can stay at home, and that doesn't work out. He winds up saying to a friend or a girl in the neighborhood that he's dying just to take her toy. Not a nice kid, not a good kid. And but in the 70s, apparently you could be the kind of rebellious anti-hero at age 12 and have a film made about you. Yeah, no thanks. But it's again, like the other film from South Africa mentioned on the that I talked about on the show, it's an interesting note of what was being made in South Africa at that time, and especially in this case for kids. But no thanks. Also on video from Omnibus is a film called Frau Stern from Germany. Omnibus has this distributed by Film Movement, and it reminded me this could be a companion piece to the Harry Dean Stanton film Lucky, directed by John Carroll Lynch. John Carroll Lynch, which, and I believe it was my number two film of that year. Frau Stern is a 90-year-old Holocaust survivor. She has smoked all of her life. She and has the voice to prove it. And even though she's told by friends and doctors to stop smoking, of course, she says, I survived the concentration camps, I'll survive smoking. But one day finally decides that she wants to die after being on this earth for 90 years. And it starts with her trying to find ways to get a gun, as well as her hanging out with way younger people because they seem, well, they keep her young and don't seem to ask as many questions. There's an estranged relationship with the daughter, but not one with the granddaughter. And a really fine a performance by the lead, road weary and does not care. And and it's not a feisty grandma. It's not a feisty cinematic grandmother. But the fact that she's lasted 90 years on Earth and wants to end things her way with her long white hair and her craggly smoking face. But, man, it's interesting to watch, and it's a fascinating character. So look for Frau Stern on Omnibus Home Video. Also on Film Movement is a film called Once Upon a River, a story of a Native American teenage girl who's really good with a rifle, and things get kind of bad for her father and the uncle, quote unquote, in the family who winds up flirting with her and winds up starting to do some unspeakable things. And what happens when the girl winds up pregnant? Dad is accidentally shot, and she takes off looking for her estranged mother and also kind of a way to find herself. This was shot, is set in Michigan. And a lot of the weight onto the lead, who handles it very well. If you're a fan of Beverly Hills Cop and Midnight Run, John Ashton's in this, who plays a craggy old guy that takes her under his wing. And we finally get to the mother 2/3 of the way through the film, and it doesn't go off as well. But a nice film, nice lead performance with the film Once Upon a River. And finally, the documentary Candy, A Beautiful Darling on Cornith Home Video, which was about Candy Darling, one of the Andy Warhol players for a while, transsexual, although what I mean by this is it's an interesting dynamic because starts off as a, you know, early life as a boy, turns into a woman. Big Kim Novak fan, wants to be an old-fashioned kind of 40s Hollywood movie star, but working with Andy Warhol in films like Flesh and Women in Revolt. and one of those that wants to be the old school movie star but is with the new wave of art in Warhol's group for a while, is later kind of ignored by Warhol, as he was known to do. But one of those that was always, Candy Darling was one of those that was always on but always off at the same time. Somebody who was loved but didn't feel loved at all. Wound up actually doing a production of a Tennessee Williams play with Mr. Williams working on it. There's a lot of nice archival footage as well as voiceover work from Chloe Sevigny in her of her diary. Somebody who's lauded too gentle, even though she was very brash and outspoken. But if you're a fan of Warhol's work and the circle of performers in his world, and a sad story, check out the documentary Candy, Beautiful Darling, about Candy Darling, and that's on Corinth Home Video. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Getting to your titles, we go to Twitter, and we start with Hopeful Pam, who says, I finally watched Coco and really enjoyed it, the storyline and the production. And I watched Coco with my 19-year-old daughter who had seen it but wanted to watch it again. That's quite an endorsement. Very good, Pam. And sorry about your Buckeyes. Ed says, Mercy, the film. Joey writes, Visiting Hours and Bad Dreams. That's a Scream Factory double feature, if I remember right. Steven, a.k.a. Chewy Walrus, writes, Went on a John Woo and Hollywood binge and watched Hard Target, Broken Arrow, Face Off, Wind Talkers, and Paycheck. Watched Van Helsing for next week's episode of At Disenfranched Pod, and finished my Clements Musker binge with The Princess and the Frog and Moana. Thank you there, Chewy Walrus. Brendan writes, when Kim's on St. Mark's shut down, all of the horror movies were so cheap that I wanted them, but there were too many. So I just bought the ones that start with don't. And now I never answer the phone, go in the house, go near the park, or go into the woods alone. Very good, Brendan. I did say on social media this week, if you did go to a family video, please tell me what videos you bought. I was interested. So, and those are over on Twitter. Over on Facebook, Allison writes, I watched The Professor and the Madman. That's the one with Sean Penn and Mel Gibson. I had read the book several years ago, and I really can't remember how the film measures up to the real story. But it was well done and fascinating to think about how much work went into making the original Oxford English Dictionary. Angela writes in, I watched it too after having read the book years ago. Certainly the book had more depth, but I was surprised at how well Sean Penn and Mel Gibson carried the depths of the characters. Joshua says he watched Impeachment 2 and Capital Insurrection. There we go. And Mason said, we also watched Despicable Me and Monsters, Inc. Ray writes, Words on Bathroom Walls and the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm a sucker for things filmed in Wilmington, North Carolina. Well, who wouldn't, Ray? I'm with you on that. Nancy writes, Dr. Sleep. Britt writes, The Blood Queen, The Hustle, Land of the Lost, Yes Nurse, No Nurse, Donkey Skin, The Young Girls of Rochefort, Umbrellas of Cherbourg, The Lost City of Z, and the live-action Mulan. Clay writes, Murder by Death, written by Neil Simon, 1976. That's right. Craig writes, Topsy Turvy, Dracula, Prince of Darkness, Brides of Dracula, The Death of Stalin, and Memories of Murder. Thomas writes, The Missouri Breaks. Abby writes, Sister Act and Soul. Joe writes, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Cobra Kai Season 3, Lilyhammer, The Professor and the Madman, and The Da Vinci Code. Skyla writes, This is Spinal Tap and Best in Show. Don't judge. Nobody's judging. Nobody's judging here. David writes, Nomadland. Joni writes, The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. We loved it. I also watched Bridgerton. I liked the costume and musical choices, admired the casting directions, but found the story still lame, just a very bad regurgitation of much better Jane Austen stories. We also started All Creatures Great and Small, so good. David writes, Midnight Sky, St. Vincent, Death to 2020, and Ma Rainey. Chris writes, Lovers Rock, excellent. Kara writes, Uncle Frank. Jose writes, Unacknowledged, followed by Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. James writes, Shannon got Patch Adams and I got the Muppet Christmas Carol. All right. Michelle writes, Dead Poets Society, Enemy of the State, Fiddler on the Roof, and Flight Plan. Apparently, I am literally, she says, going through our DVD drawers in alphabetical order. That's all right. Steven says, the encore edition of The Cotton Club. Alan writes, I've really enjoyed the private history of David Copperfield, News of the World, and Mr. Jones, striking photography. Dustin writes, An American Tragedy, Holiday, The Godfathers 1, 2, and 3, Frankie and Johnny, Company, 2011, Saving Mr. Banks, Captain Marvel, A Farmer's Daughter, Wonder Woman 1984, and Soul. Kate writes, The Gift. Darlene writes, Soul, Rock and Roll President Jimmy Carter, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, The Sound and The Sound of My Voice. That's the Linda Ronstadt documentary. Beverly writes, Uncle Frank and Julie and Julia. I'm not going to read that. Smart guy. David writes, Advise and Consent, House of Sand and Fog, The Rise of Skywalker, and The Rocketeer. Daniel writes, Viva Las Vegas, Pieces of a Woman, Foreign Correspondent, I Am Woman, Green Card, and The Main Event. Tom writes, Our Favorites, Dinner Rush with Danny Aiello, available on YouTube, and Big Night with Tony Shalhoub and Stanley Tucci. Criterion Collection, please do Big Night. Richard writes, Drop Dead Gorgeous. Michael writes, Blazing Saddles. Melissa writes, Soul, Sylvie's Love, and Gretel and Hansel. Or Hansel. Taylor writes, Mothra, Mr. Right, Deadpool 2, Murder by Death, Clue, and Charlie Chan's Last Warning. Lou writes, Rampage, The Hot Spot, of Virginia Madsen and Jennifer Connelly and Don Johnson. After Dark, My Sweet, The Prime of Miss Jean Brody, and The Muppets Take Manhattan. Or Manhattan, if you're Violet Bick. John writes, Walk the Line, The Green Mile, Bad Education, Sherlock Holmes' Game of Shadows, Enemy of the State, and The Honest Thief. Andrew writes, Cinderella, that's the one with Lily James, and Logan. I'm getting ready to teach a class on adaptation of literature to film, and I'm scouting for films I can't use to teach certain key points. Thank you there. Jed writes, I watched Lon Chaney's silent film, He Who Gets Slapped, but don't think it was originally made to be creepy, but it certainly is today. Enjoyed it. Also watched Murders at the Zoo. I highly recommend this to any classic horror fan. Doug writes, when our family video folded a few months ago, I bought three, Raisin in the Sun, The Last Picture Show, and The Artist. In the past week, I've watched the documentary Winston Churchill and the movie Mogul and the 1933 film The Private Life of Henry III, along with the Netflix series The Queen's Gambit. Nigel writes, Bob Dylan, No Direction Home, Gordon Lightfoot, If You Could Read My Mind, and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Nikki writes, The Voices. Wow. That was one I wish we could have discussed with you in person like I did after watching Killer Joe. Hi, Nikki. A while back, I had Nikki on the show when she experienced the film Killer Joe. And it was one of those that she was just blindsided. Or she said, one of those, what did I just watch? And apparently The Voices is on that. Hey, Nikki. How you doing? Brian writes, We Can Be Heroes and Sky High. Carrie writes, Father Figures, Cabaret, and The Day After Tomorrow. Joe writes, Joe Shearer, only three this week, Battle Royale, Battles With It, Honor and Humanity, and Antebellum. Brock writes, The Nest. Jamie writes, I haven't gotten to watch much, but I did watch Showboat. I love Howard Keel. We picked up quite a bit from Family Video. Seven Brides for Seven Brothers is next on my list. Emily writes, Brave and Tangled. Tonight, it's Frozen and Frozen 2. Sarah writes, Soul for the first time. Toy Story 4, Shrek, Brave, Tangled, Frozen 2, Big Hero 6, and The Thomas Crown Affair. Nice. Jay writes, So we've been using a combo of our own library of movies that we can find on different Steam and what we can find on different streaming services. This week, we've been on a Tarantino run. We watched Reservoir Dogs for the first time. Then last night, we watched The Hateful Eight. Chris writes, The Five Bloods. Delroy Lindo was fantastic, but Norm Lewis threw me for a loop, likely because I know him as a Broadway actor first. Thought it was great, and Lee continues to turn out amazing work. Jennifer writes, One of my favorites, Foul Play. Steve writes, Shazam, surprisingly good superhero version of Big. And that was exactly my review, Steve, when that film came out. Good one. Jessica writes, Ghosts of War, a nice surprise. Andy writes, I'm Your Woman, or Mrs. Maisel does some crime and gun stuff. I know, but I still liked it. It's almost like if Mrs. Maisel starred in John Cassavetes' Gloria. Rosanna writes, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Jingle Jangle, Frost Nixon, and the series I enjoyed and binged watch was Pretend It's a City on Netflix. Steph writes, Logan was incredible. I haven't had a film affect me like that since Spirited Away. William writes, Hobbs and Shaw. Lisa writes, Murder by Death, and said it was hilarious. Mario writes, We watched the Matrix trilogy with the kids. I now know Kung Fu. Okay. Jay writes, Sorry to Bother You was amazing and intelligent and weird AF. Also saw another great film I can't describe without ruining it called Coherence. I can't recommend either enough. By the way, Monster Hunter was a great drive-in film. Sadly for you in the Midwest, drive-ins aren't a winter option. Well, you have to check. But yeah, I'm with you, Jay. Carrie writes, Tenet. Maria writes, Kingsman. Connor writes, As Above, So Below, as well as Star Wars Episodes 1, 2, and 3. Jennifer writes, The Iron Lady. This is the most recent season of The Crown. Maybe just want to watch it. Tom writes, The Ballerina and the Vampire, calling Mystery Science Theater 3000. Ah, some fodder there. Jeff writes, The Ballad of Lefty Brown, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Radioactive, and Rock of Ages. Simone writes, Breakpoint, or do you mean Point Break? Just checking. John writes, Tenet, and says, man, that was disappointing. Kathleen writes, Pieces of a Woman, as well as Unknown with Liam Neeson. Austin writes, Sorry for the lengthy list. You're not, Austin, or else you wouldn't have given it to me. Opening night, all five films of Small Axe, and if you've not seen those, you really should. Antebellum, the 40-year-old version, His House, Leap of Faith, William Friedkin on The Exorcist, Never Rarely, Sometimes Always, The Vast of Night, The Painted Bird, Palm Springs, The Sound of Metal, The Wolf of Snow Hollow, Soul, Tenant, Underwater, Tomoso, hope I'm saying that right, All I Can Say, David Byrne's American Utopia, The Assistant, Borat's subsequent movie film, Battles of Honor and Humanity, Battle Royale, Class Action Park, Nomadland, and Possessor. Thank you much there. Carrie writes, Rocky and Bullwinkle. Missy writes, We are currently working our way through Letterkenny. Oh, she did. Ladies and gentlemen, I got a post from my daughter and former film sociology kids film correspondent Emma Sosi from Family Video, Sorry to Bother You, The Graduate, Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium, The Nice Guys, 20th Century Women, Jennifer's Body, and a couple more. When I get home, I'll have to find out about the couple more. She also has her own copy, so she has to take some of those from me. Julia writes, Miriam Hopkins and the Hopkins-Lubick trifecta, The Smiling Lieutenant, Trouble in Paradise, and Design for Living. Thank you, Julia. Amy writes, Soul, King of Staten Island, and Wonder Woman 1984. Amy writes, Death of 2020 on Netflix. Tina said it was also entertaining. Brian writes, Wonder Woman 84, third season of Cobra Kai, Soul, Getting Ready for WandaVision, and We Can Be Heroes. Cassie writes, Fight Club and Silver Bullet. Adrian writes, Mystic Pizza for the first time. It happens. It happens all the time. Megan also chimes in, Oh, I love that movie. Andrew writes, Not a full movie, but a limited series. I started watching HBO's John Adams with Paul Giamatti. It's amazing. Teresa writes, The Sound of Music, because for some strange reason, it wasn't on over the Christmas holidays, and I missed it. Andrew writes Kong, Skull Island, and Goodfellas. Dylan writes Turkey Shoot, Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Get Duked. Thank you, Dylan. Anthony writes The Swiss Army Man, a zero rating. Absolutely the worst film in the world. And I had to tell him that there are far, far worse out there, and I own several of them. Also chimed in by Anthony saying it was a high school boy's dream. Oh, there's a lot of gas noises in it. So, well, there you go. And that's what you've been watching this week. So hope you got some ideas, some inspiration, and hope you find some films that are new or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And we need to raise a glass to a couple of actresses. It's time for Dead People We Like, because we never have time for Dead People We Don't Like. But actress Jessica Campbell, who is best known for playing Tammy Metzler in the film version of Election, passed away. Only 38 years old, and only a handful of credits. She appeared on, I think, a couple episodes of Freaks and Geeks, a TV movie called In the Best Interest of the Children. After that was Election, and then after that, The Safety of Objects, Dad's Day Video, and the film Junk. So salute to Jessica Campbell. And I'm late getting to this one. And Craig, thanks for reminding me about this. But actress Barbara Shelley passed away, English actress. If you are a fan of Hammer horror films in the 50s and 60s, you have probably seen her. She appeared in some other non-Hammer stuff. But films like Catgirl, The End of the Line, The Camp on Blood Island, Blood of the Vampire, Murder at Sight 3, really got known for Village of the Damned, The Shadow of the Cat, Death Trap, no, not that one, Stranglehold, The Gorgon, Man in the Dark, The Secret of Blood Island, Dracula, Prince of Darkness, Rasputin, The Mad Monk, and Quatermass and The Pit, all those three from 1966 and 1967. Hammer films, if there ever was one. And then kept on working in England, bouncing back and forth between TV and movies and the stage. So salute to Barbara Shelley. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. But one other note before we end the show. I want to clarify this because I just take terrible notes. Your lead in Frau Stern was, pardon my butchering if I say these wrong, Ahuma Sommerfeld, who, as I didn't know, this film came out in Germany in 2019, and she passed away back in February of 2019 at the age of 82. Your lead in Once Upon a River, that's Kennadi Della Serna, sorry about that. Your lead in Song Without a Name is Pamela Mendoza. And then your leads in My German Friend, you have the boy is played by Max Reimelt, and the girl is played by Celeste Sid. So look them up. Look up those titles. Worth checking out on home video. Anyway, go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're being good to one another. And hopefully you find some new films, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And we'll try this again. So take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father. Okay.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!